You are Locked On Steelers, your daily Pittsburgh Steelers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, bringing you your daily dose of all things on the Pittsburgh Steelers. Today's episode is going to have Dean Iampietro from Channel 11 WPXI, and we've got a lot to talk about. So we talked about the TJ Watt rumor on yesterday's show, and boy, has there been a lot of developments there. We're going to talk about that and what's new in that department and why it's pretty much shut down the entire story coming from the mouth of TJ Watt, as well as other reporters with sources within the Steelers organization. Then we're going to dive into a topic Dean wants to talk about with Ben Roethlisberger, and maybe why Steelers fans who are anxious to get rid of him are being too much. And then finally, we're going to talk about leadership in the Steelers organization. Not about who's the leaders on the team now, but who need to become the leaders for the team tomorrow. All that and more right here on today's show. Let's get into it. So we talked about TJ Watt stuff yesterday on the show, but a little behind the curtain here, I recorded that yesterday's show with Tony a little earlier in the evening, and it was before TJ Watt fired back and had his own stuff. And today we're gonna rehash that up with our man Dean Iampietro from Channel 11 WPXI in Pittsburgh. Dean, how you doing, man?
I'm doing well. Pleasure to be with you, Chris.
We got a lot to go over here. Recall, if you missed yesterday's show, a report came out from Mark Madden on the Mark Madden Show on 105.9 The X that TJ Watt was the Steeler who missed his exit or skipped his exit interview, and that he did so because he was frustrated with the team, and he told the team to, quote, send my S word to Wisconsin, saying that he wasn't going to show up and just to do whatever, you know, send his information to his home out of state. So that, of course, started a firestorm. And Tony and I speculated, like, well, you know, this is interesting, but how does this make sense? Because what does TJ have to complain about? He's the golden boy on the team. He's going to get paid buku dollars very soon. He's going to make $10 million this year. They hired his little brother, Derek Watt. What thing can TJ Watt be complaining about right now? And so, you know, we speculated, like, maybe it's this, maybe it's that, we don't know. But, you know, we said, like, we both of us were leaning on the side of this didn't happen. And that maybe Mark has a source, but the source is incorrect. Well, then shortly afterward, TJ Watt stepped into the fray, and he tweeted, and this is exact words on Twitter, quote, "I would love to hear who Mark's sources are. They certainly can't be myself, Coach Tomlin, Kevin Colbert, or Coach Butler, all of whom I met with during exit interviews prior to packing my own things after a hard fought season, trying to give everything I have for the city of Pittsburgh." So that's TJ Watt saying he had exit interviews. And then today, known Steelers beat writer Mark Caboli for The Athletic goes on 93.7 The Fan and says, talking about the TJ Watt controversy, and he says, "I know that TJ Watt went through the exit interviews in person, and he even met with trainers. He met with everyone he needed to meet with." So, Dean,
well,
we're both people who have worked with Mark for years. You've produced The Final Word, which is the TV show on Sunday nights for Channel 11, that I go on, that he goes on, that you produce. And granted, I said on the last show, I don't agree with Mark a lot of times when it's on the Steelers. But you know, he's saying he got this source. You're like, okay, you take him at his word, but you know, you got TJ saying it, you got other credit, and no other Steelers reporter has stepped up. And the thing is, Dean, is that Mark, we all know Mark ain't been in the locker room. He's not close to the team. So where are you at on the skepticism level? If there's a 1 to 10 skepticism level about this report from Mark, where are you?
I'm definitely at a 9.5 now. It's, you know, for disclosure, people say, you know, I work with Mark on The Final Word. So I produce the show.
Right.
And everyone on the show is a panelist. Mm-hmm. I don't work for the panelists.
No.
At the end of the day, I solicit topic ideas from them, but I decide what they are. I produce the show. So I'm not beholden to anybody. That's on the final word.
He threatens so our families if we don't come up with good topics.
I have not the ability to confirm or deny that. But maybe Kabali could confirm or deny that for us. you have a source, right? You have a
source. Yeah, me.
His family's fine, everybody. No one's been hurt.
That's because we have good topics.
He has great topics. But no, I mean, so, you know, I'm not beholden to anybody that's on the final word. Just so everybody knows that. I do not, you know, have to defend anybody that's on right. there or not defend anybody that's on there.
That being said.
So the only reason it's a 9.5 and not a 10, though, is as Mark doesn't. And most media people truly just don't seem like the type to make something up out of nowhere, okay? No one just pulls something out of thin air that they know is just simply not true and can easily be refuted and put it out there, okay? So where did this come from? So it comes from this source, right? So clearly you could have a bad source, okay? Mm-hmm. But then Mark doubled down on the source after TJ made that tweet.
Yep.
He doubled down on it and said, I stand by it. Now, you got some faith in that source, man. Because that source, there's something that happens in a lot of, I've noticed in a lot of political arguments or in a lot of conspiracy theory arguments where someone takes... it was noted by in Wrestling World by Eric Bischoff, who used to run WCW. And so what happens is people will take a kernel of truth and then expand that out to something that fits a narrative. So was there a kernel of truth to what happened with TJ Watt? Mm-hmm. Could it be that the day that they wanted to schedule it, he was frustrated and didn't do it? But then he did it the next day. Could it be something like that? Maybe. But I would think the source would then know that he later did have his interview. So, but there could be something that was just there enough for the source to tell Mark that, for Mark to go with that. I would like to believe that's the case. I don't know that for sure, though. But for TJ, who's now, granted, it's also not above any NFL player to, you know, when they've been made to look bad, to find a way to make themselves look good and to take advantage of their reputations. NFL players can have done that. Mm-hmm. But again, if TJ Watt's going to put that out there, that's something that could easily be refuted by somebody else, right?
Right.
So he put it out in a pretty definitive manner. And truth be told, Mark Kabali's Steeler sources, I'm going to be willing to bet, are better than Mark's Steeler sources. If we were talking about the Penguins, I'd say Mark's sources are better.
Confirm, Mark, you're saying Mark Kabali's sources are better than Mark Madden.
I'm sorry. Yes.
There's too many Marks here, man.
Sorry. Yes, Mark Kabali's Steeler sources are going to be stronger than Mark Madden's Steeler sources because Mark Madden is more of a Penguins fan. He likes the Penguins better. Mm-hmm. And Mark Kabali is embedded in covering the Steelers. So if I'm going to take someone's source just at their face value, I'll probably take Kabali's over Madden's. If it was the Penguins, I'd go the other way. So I'm now, you know, very much so believing, like, you know, this didn't happen. It's not a big controversy. And it doesn't sound like TJ Watt either. It just does not sound like him.
That's my thing. And then, like, I saw someone on one of Mark's threads say that, oh, there he wasn't happy on the sidelines a lot this season. Like, when wasn't he happy? When was TJ Watt ever mad at a coach or something? You know, like, there's never been a hint that this man wasn't being Mr. Steeler and just and doing his best. And when he didn't do his best, he wanted to do better and showing up. I mean, he showed up every day in camp. He showed up every day in practice. He didn't take vet days off. This guy loves what he does. And it seems like he loves being part of the organization because he has been an uncomplaining member for, this was what, his fourth season?
And you can tell in their interviews on Zoom, you can tell.
Yeah.
You know, you can tell when someone is a disgruntled person or doesn't want to be there or doesn't even want to deal with the media or does or whatever. And TJ Watt's always stood up. TJ Watt, after losses, would often show up before Tomlin on our Zoom calls.
Mm-hmm.
And he would be sitting down in uniform, just ready to address it, just ready to talk. So he's been a stand-up guy for the whole season, this season, you know, just in my experience this season. You know, that's something I noticed, though. Like, he's ready to be like, okay, we lost. I'm going to get out in front of this and we're going to talk about it. And he doesn't shy away from stuff. And it just, there's been no hint of him having an organizational problem. There's been no talk of him about his contract or coming up or any negotiations. I'd say this is not a story.
Yeah, that's where I'm at too. And to what you said, Tony and I thought through this yesterday as well. The possibility of maybe not even TJ Watt was frustrated on a day and did it the next day. Maybe it was like an emergency where I was like, hey, I got to get back to Wisconsin. Can we move this? And then, oh, he didn't do it. And then there's just speculation that he was frustrated about something. Like, there's so many different ways that could have led to the source. And the source could also just be fibbing for Mark. Or fibbing to Mark, that could very well happen. I won't say the kernels that I've picked up over the past few years, but there's been times I've been around practice, I've been around Heinz Field, I've been around, you know, Steph, and I've heard things and I've had things told to me that I'm like, that don't add up. And I was like, I'm not going to say anything. I'll keep my ears open for this. And then it would later get refuted. And I'm like, okay, so that wasn't true. And that's that's where I'm at. And again, I'm 31. I've only been, this is my first, I still haven't even been full time working in sports journalism for six months yet. So like, I'm at this point. And Mark, and again, Mark's not a traditional reporter. He's a radio guy and a columnist. Mm-hmm. You know, he makes money. He's a big dude in the industry because he's been around for a long time and he knows how the business works and he knows how to get people going and he knows how to get people excited about talking about sports. That's what Mark does. But his specialty has never been, I know what's going on here. And I'm going to out. He's not Adam Schefter.
Yeah, right. And I don't. But it's just that I think it's more of he's getting bad information rather than he's just making something up.
Absolutely. Yeah. I would not accuse Mark of just faking a story. I think it's definitely either the person that's feeding him the information has their own agenda, or. Mm-hmm. Or the person doesn't know what the heck they're talking about. And Mark was willing to go with it because he's like, hey, you know what? I can talk about this for the rest of the summer. And by the end of it, you know, by the end of next season. And if 5 years down the line, something happens to TJ Watt, I can throw up my hands and say, I told you guys that there was problems here. So, but anyways, yeah, I don't think Mark's lying at all. I think it's just that his sources ain't good. Cause I've heard, and it'd be different if Jerry Dulac, if Dale Lally, mm-hmm. if Mark Boboli, if Ray Fittipaldi, if one of those guys,
any of them put an inch of truth to it, then it'd be more credible as a story, but it's not. It's just not to me. And I'm not, and you can, I can see that Steeler Nation in general isn't jumping on the TJ Watt's a bad guy bandwagon by it either by any means.
Yeah. You're telling me that Captain America, Steve Rogers has joined Thanos. Yeah. Well, Captain America did join Hydra in the later comics. It's
okay in the comics, but see, my MCU is the movies. So. Okay.
All right. That's fine. I was going to say, whoa. But say Thanos. And then we got you there.
Thanos,
but we made our superhero reference of the day. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Dean got a topic to talk to all of you Steelers fans about. And it's about the quarterback situation. What's he going to talk to you guys about? Find out after we talk to our friends at betonline.ag. With the Super Bowl upon us, you know it's going to be a lot of gambling going on in the big game between Tom Brady and the Buccaneers and Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. And the only place that we trust to place our bets on is betonline.ag. Sign up today for your free account and you'll get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit if you use the promo code LOCKEDON. That's LOCKEDON, locked on, all capital letters, all one word, and you'll get that 50% bonus. Don't forget, when you're betting on the Super Bowl, you're not just betting on the final score. You're betting on the over and the under, who wins the coin toss, who scores the first touchdown, all sorts of things that you can get great odds on at betonline.ag. Get off the sidelines. Get in on the action. And when you do, don't forget to use that promo code. That's LOCKEDON, locked on, all capital letters, all one word, and you'll get a 50% bonus to your first deposit. BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. Back here on the Locked On Steelers podcast, I'm your host, Chris Carter. Dean, you texted me like Sunday mid-afternoon, like the first conference championship game wasn't even over yet, and you texted me, and you said, please, 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 remind me to talk about a topic that I want to talk about. And I'm like, what does that even mean? I'm like, how am I supposed to remind you about something I don't even know what it is yet? But you told me before the show when we met up on Zoom as we were getting ready to record this, what it was. And I think it's a legitimate point. And I kind of brought this up on Monday a little bit, but you wanted to talk about Ben Roethlisberger and the standing that you've seen him have, just the response that you've seen had across Steelers fans over social media.
Now, I'm sorry, Steeler Nation, but I've got to call you out.
And not all Steeler Nation, because there's plenty of Steeler Nation that doesn't think this way. But there's a growing voice.
The buzz, the social media posts, the tweets, the instant reactions. There's a general, it feels like an unappreciation and almost a disrespect for what Ben Roethlisberger has meant to this team on the field. You kind of joked about it when people were talking about Rodgers, that we hadn't even got through Watson yet, let alone Stafford. People were talking about Aaron Rodgers to the Steelers. As soon as a quarterback comes up, oh, get him. Oh, if we had Aaron Rodgers. Oh, if we had Deshaun Watson. I'll trade 4 draft picks for Deshaun Watson. Oh, we got to sign Carson Wentz. Sign Dwayne Haskins. That's awesome. Guys, Ben Roethlisberger has been a franchise quarterback for 17 years. Mm-hmm. Do you know how lucky you are? Do you realize how fortunate of a fan base you are to have what you have had and the consistency for which you've had it? I'm convinced some of y'all weren't alive or fans, and I've said it before, from 1983 to 2004, when we went through a quarterback potpourri of hell with this organization. Ben can be a polarizing figure as a person. Maybe you don't care for him. Maybe you do. That doesn't bother me either way. I don't feel like sometimes this fan base, even like with guys like Troy Polamalu, and take it to other sports, to Sidney Crosby, Jaromir Jagr, Lemieux before him. Do you realize what we've seen? Andrew McCutcheon was an MVP for the Pirates. Did you appreciate that? Did you really appreciate that? But all of a sudden, it's like, well, Ben's done. Cast him aside. Throw him to the curb. And Aaron Rodgers. Come on, man. Yes, he has to play within a certain system to have success, not unlike what Peyton Manning did in his final years in Denver to make it work. But damn, guys, a little more appreciation for a guy that may be on the way out door because he brought you 2 Super Bowls, took you to a third, made the playoffs more than he didn't, never had a losing season under Tomlin.
Or ever. He's never had one.
It was 2006. They were 8-8. This dude's never had a losing season. Wow. Technically,
if someone wants to be a technical jerk, they could say that 2019 was a losing season because he started 2 games and lost them. But that's not what we're doing here. That's not what we're doing. Right. But to your point, I get what you're saying. Now, to push back a little bit, just for the sake of the conversation, because I know there's people out there saying, yeah, my problem is he is a 17th year quarterback, and he's old and up there. And I feel I get where people's anxiety is. They don't want to have that 1983 to 2004 lull of not having. So they're saying, find it now. But my thing is this. There's two, and I said this the night that they lost to the Browns on this very show. If you're talking to Ben about something, I'm more than willing to keep him around if he's willing to move his money to keep it competitive, because it is obvious he is not the engine that's going to make the entire team go. He just, he can't do it. They tried it when they got him all the weapons in the world a few years ago, and he had every weapon that you could imagine for this offense. He couldn't make that happen. And then this year they said, okay, well, we're just going to put a lot into the passing game. We're going to let you air it out. And that still didn't work out. I think the team is realizing they got to readjust things and say, hey, Ben, you're part of the machine, but you're not you're a cog in the engine, but you're not you're not in the driver's seat anymore. You know, we gotta have a different thing that makes this car go. But all that being said, Ben Roethlisberger is still valuable. He just threw the second most touchdowns of his career for a season. And yes, he tanked at the end of the season. And I said it all offseason leading into this year. The goal of this Steelers offense needed to be to balance it out so that he didn't have to worry about having to throw the ball all the time. Early in the season, that wasn't the case. Mm-hmm. He didn't have to throw all the ball all the time. In fact, I just did a Carter's Classroom on DKPittsburghSports.com, which you can check out. I break down the film as far as why I think Matt Canada could really boost the Steelers' run game. And I showed a lot of the things they were doing early in the season, the jet sweeps, the motions. And even when the jet sweep was just a disguise, the thought process it forced the defense to get into gave the Steelers an advantage. And this is with this year's offensive line and James Conner. We're expecting this team to invest in offensive line and running back this offseason. You bring in a better backfield, a better offensive line, and an offense that sticks to that scheme that was working earlier in the season. Because again, they added wrinkles of Matt Canada's play, ideas. They didn't add his full playbook, so they couldn't just run that all season. But with him around, maybe that opens up the running game, and then you can let Ben Roethlisberger just be efficient in a smaller sample size. But when you force him to do it a whole lot, that's when you see his mistakes get fleshed out much easier by opponents.
Yeah, but and all that makes perfect sense. It just feels like there's such a giddiness of moving on. Like, why are you excited about moving on from Ben Roethlisberger? That's not exciting. It's kind of scary. You know?
And again, I think people would be excited to move on if they got the next guy. Like, Deshaun Watson is the one that I totally get. If you could get him, like, not for four first round picks, but like I think, and you and I disagree about this. I think that if the Texans came to me right now and said, we will give you Deshaun Watson for TJ Watt in a first round pick, I would seriously consider that. As much as I'm a TJ supporter, and as much as I think that he's the baddest edge rusher in this league, you give me a franchise quarterback that's like Deshaun Watson and not with Bill O'Brien as the head coach, I think he wins you some Super Bowls. Not that TJ can't also win you some Super Bowls, but that would be a horse of a different color. But, you know, not two or three first round picks, not Matt Stafford. I'm sorry, Matt Stafford is just
no.
I think he's a good quarterback.
Why do you think it's out there though, that people just kind of want to cast him aside so quickly? Why do they want to cast him aside that quick?
Notice, Dean, where these conversations often start from. It doesn't start from Caboli, from Lolly, from Dulac, from the guys that we know. It starts from Pro Football Talk, from Bleacher Report, from ESPN, from these national places that don't have connections tight with the organization. And they do these articles where they say top five landing spots for Aaron Rodgers, top five landing spots for Matt Stafford. And of course, Pittsburgh's listed there because they see easily, hey, that quarterback's on his last legs. They need to find a replacement. Pittsburgh would be, and they just get to write that. And there's no repercussions for, you know, if with a source that they might have in Pittsburgh. Like, they don't have a guy in Kevin Colbert's front office that's like, hey, don't say dumb stuff like that, because there's no consequences to pay there. They just get to say these things nationally, and the only fan base that's going to pinch back at them are the Steelers fans. So that's where I think all of this starts. And then when Steelers fans see this, a lot of Steelers fans aren't, you know, the diehards that listen to great shows like this all the time. A lot of Steelers fans, you know, they pop on social media after the game or just during the day, and they see this article, and sometimes they don't know what the difference is between a local source and a national, you know, a national, like just a think piece. And they'll see that and they'll think, oh, this could totally happen. And then yeah, they have to, and then, but then the hardcore fans, the fans that listen to this show, the fans that are dedicated, they look into it and they're like, well, wait a minute, what are you basing this on? Nothing, just your pure thoughts and thought that maybe this is a good fit in Madden. No, that's not how this works. So that's where I think it starts, and then social media just, it festers because it's social media. Everything festers there.
Absolutely. Now I'm not against playing for the future. I hope they play him better than they did post Bradshaw when they could have had Marino. But I went there. but they got to play him better. They do have to play him better.
I agree.
But that doesn't mean I'm anxious to get rid of Ben either. Amen. I mean, he's, you know, and I'm not personally a Ben Roethlisberger fan. I would never own a 7 jersey. I don't necessarily, you know, he's not my favorite person in the world. Some of the things from the past, but
you on recognize the field, his
strictly on the field.
Yeah.
He has been a franchise quarterback for this team. Mm-hmm. He has provided a lot of excitement for fans over 17 years. That's something that should be appreciated.
I agree. I think that's the big thing about it, is that, you know, it should be appreciated from the quarterback standpoint, and it should be respected. Again, you know, a lot of people were saying in that last run of games where the Steelers were losing that he can't throw the ball down the field anymore, and he can't do this, and he can't do that, and physically it's impossible. And then we saw in the Colts game that wasn't the case, and then we saw once he started doing it, he was hitting those. And to me, it was just like, why wasn't this the plan out the gate for Ben Roethlisberger? Why didn't he first play? You know what? I'm calling this stuff. Play action. Let's give Chase a shot. Let's hit Deontay. Let's hit Juju. And then when he did eventually do it, he sliced the Browns up. The problem was he did it after he'd thrown 3 interceptions on shorter passes and messing up for, you know, for the first 17-20 minutes of the game. So that's where I think the problem lies. It's not a physically incapable point for Ben Roethlisberger. I do think that cliff is coming for him, but I do think that he has at least one more year of this. And again, this is so much easier if the Steelers come into next year with a ground game. And it's not something that's going to appear overnight, but it is something that could catch people off guard, the same way James Conner caught people off guard in 2018. No one knew that he was going to pop off for almost 1,000 yards, or you think he did get 1,000 yards that year. No one, I think he fell just short because of an injury, but no one thought that he was going to be a Pro Bowl caliber running back, the way he was that season. And if you draft a guy high, or, you know, in the first 3 rounds, and you adapt your offensive line and you come up with these new schemes that people aren't familiar with as much that balance the offense, I think totally Ben Roethlisberger is your guy in that situation. And I'd rather have him in that situation than Matt Stafford right now, especially because all you're getting if you get Matt Stafford is, you know, a little bit of a pay savings, and because not much from Ben Roethlisberger's contract, and you're probably giving up an asset to get him off the Lions. So, you know, if that's even a second round pick, that's a pick that you could put to the offensive line or the running back position this year.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
No need to do all that.
Nope, not at all.
So we're on the same page here. Let us know if you think we're crazy. Of course, you can, Steelers fans, if you think it's that time for Ben Roethlisberger, or you're just tired, you think you're tired of it, it doesn't make you less of a Steelers fan. It means you got a different opinion. So let us know. There's the Locked On Steelers Facebook group, which you can join up by searching for Locked On Steelers on Facebook. Ask to join the group. I'll add you as soon as possible. We have 1,100 Steelers fans in that group right now, or over that now. But do join that. You can also hit me up on Twitter at Carter Critiques to let me know what you think. We're going to take one more quick break. When we come back, we want to talk about leadership and who can be the leaders moving forward, because this is still very much a young team with the core that they're building. We'll talk about that right after we talk to our friends at rockauto.com. Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody and are reliably low. RockAuto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than charging prices based on what the market will bear like airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody and does not require membership or account login. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On, that's L-O-C-K-E-D, Locked On, in their How Did You Hear About Us section so that they can know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliable low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com today. Built Bar is the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. Built Bar is great for the health-conscious person and helps someone lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat during the day. Built Bars are low-calorie, low-sugar, but high-protein and high-fiber, and they're great for a keto diet. Instead of when you're tired and hungry at work and you need a boost to get through the day, instead of going to the vending machine and getting those cupcakes, those Pop-Tarts, or those potato chips, get something healthy like a Built Bar. It'll fill you up, taste great, and get you through the rest of your day with the energy that you need. And Built Bar comes in 18 amazing different flavors. Six of those new flavors are caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. You can get all those flavors by going to their website right now at BuiltBar.com. Go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON. That's L-O-C-K-E-D-O-N, Locked On, and you'll get $10 off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON, L-O-C-K-E-D-O-N, for $10 off your next order at BuiltBar.com. Back on the Locked On Steelers podcast, I'm your host, Chris Carter, here with Dean Iampietro from Channel 11 WPXI. Dean, one thing that I've always appreciated about the Steelers, about the great Steelers teams, are the guys who were the leaders, the Mr. Steelers, the guys who you looked at them and you thought, bang, that guy's a leader. And there's different types of leaders, because a lot of people, when you think across the NFL, they think of the Ray Lewis type of leader that's in the middle of the huddle, that's yelling, that's getting everyone hyped and everyone's psyched and everyone's ready for that. But there's, and the Steelers have some of those guys over the years, but they also have quiet leaders. And, you know, you think of some of the louder ones, Joey Porter. He was always vocal. James Ferrier, he would get in people's faces. He would get vocal at times. Hines Ward would be one of those guys for the offense. You'd see him get in the face of Lyman Sweden, challenging people all the time. But then you have your quiet leaders like Heath Miller, who just showed up every day and worked his butt off. You had Troy Polamalu, who is as loud as he was with his play. Troy was always the mild-mannered dude. He was always soft-spoken. He just did what was asked of him, and he got people to follow him because of how great he was. And you have your balance of that. Now, the Steelers now, they have some great players on their roster. But it seems to – and they still have time to see these guys develop. But I think that they need more a stronger combination of vocal and non-vocal leaders to step up from this young group.
Yes, they do. we were talking about it before the show, and like on defense, I think they're okay. Mm-hmm. Cam Hayward,
he's the soul to me. He is still
exactly
when he speaks, people still listen. And
absolutely,
and I've seen that. So like, I'm not saying that they don't have them, but it's imperative, because the thing is, Cam's only got a few more years left. It's imperative that. You know, I see T.J. Watt leading on the field, and I see him leading by example. But it's imperative that a T.J. Watt, a Devin Bush, a Minkah Fitzpatrick, one of those guys becomes the person that takes over for Cam when Cam's ready to kind of step down and like, you know, hey, I'm not in my prime anymore. Someone else needs to be the dude that runs this defense. And one of those guys, or maybe even two of those guys, becomes the big dog that gets the whole group together. And then you could still have your silent leader. Joe Hayden is one of those guys. He's a leader. But what I'm saying is, I think for this next generation of Steelers, we need to start seeing those guys develop. I think starting this next season and the season after.
What kind of I'm not worried about the defense in that regard. I am really worried about the offense in that regard. What kind of leader do you think Ben Roethlisberger is?
I think I've always seen Ben as more of a passive leader, in that he will say things at times and he will challenge people at points in practice. But for years, I would not see him throw down on Antonio Brown in the moment. And there were times like you could see he would just kind of like back off and but like when Antonio Brown, when he was at his Antonio Brownness, you know, and again, I didn't think these were hugely wrong. I just saw these as like, you know, okay, maybe you could have handled that better. But like when he flipped the Gatorade cooler you know, in the Ravens game, and it will go up to him like, yo, cut that out. I need you. Let's go. And there's times that he does do that, but you know, him, Le'Veon Bell, I never felt that Ben Roethlisberger was the way that Drew Brees was in the late 2000s, early 2010s for the Saints. You know, when he had the this is New Orleans, like the whole defense, the baddest dudes on the team was like, nah, let's go. We're gonna fight. Mm-hmm. And Ben's definitely a leader. I'm not saying he's not. I just think his style of leadership, he's a little bit of the combination. I think he'd be much better as a leader, as being a Troy Polamalu type. Hey, I come here to get the work done, and I communicate with the guys I need to communicate with, but I don't need to be the loudmouth face of the team. I think David DeCastro is that. I think he's the quiet guy that's just like, I come to work, I set the stage, and if there's bullying going on, I'm going to address it. He's a Molotov. We saw that for years with Vontaze Burfict. We saw it just last year with Myles Garrett when he was the first guy on him with Pouncey. I think Pouncey was another one of those guys. But I think one of the problems in offense is that you never had that Hines Ward type of Jerome Bettis, the guy that was like, it stops here. You know, when Jerome, mm-hmm. you're right. Jerome's a great, I can't believe I didn't say him before. When Jerome spoke, the whole room stopped.
Right. And that's the guy you need.
Yeah.
On offense. And the problem is, okay, so let's go with Ben comes back. Ben's a leader. Okay. Yeah. That's fine. Mm-hmm. But let's say Pouncey doesn't. Yeah. Okay. And Connor doesn't, and Juju doesn't.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah. It doesn't leave you a lot of space for those guys.
And so David DeCastro, you know, obviously, and what I'd like to see, honestly, and I think it could work, is David DeCastro to take Kevin Dotson.
I agree.
Under a leadership wing.
Mm-hmm.
Teach Kevin Dotson how to be a leader.
Mm-hmm.
In the locker room.
Yep.
Because Dotson's got that history of growing up loving the Steelers. Okay, so he's got
very, very good point.
Black and gold in his blood from mm-hmm. growing up. And so you know he's someone that's automatically got respect for what it means to be a Steeler.
Mm-hmm.
And he's shown himself to be a capable player.
Yeah.
And he's showing that, and he's growing into that. Now, is he going to be your, you know, your leader captain in year two? No, but he could grow into it. He's someone that I think could. And that's about it right now. Well, they don't have, maybe if they sign a veteran guy,
maybe
in the receiving or the running back core that could come in and be a leader interim while the young guys grow.
Mm-hmm.
Or I mean, show the young guys how to be a leader.
James Ferrier was a vet that came to the Steelers, yeah, right. And he became the leader.
Yes. So that can be done. Because outside of it, I don't see and I could be wrong about them. I could be wrong about these people. And I'm not saying they're bad people. I'm not saying they can't be leaders. Mm-hmm. I just don't see that intangible, like where you look at someone and go, yeah, that person could be a leader.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see it a lot on the Steelers' offensive side of the ball right now.
There's one guy who I think some people are going to react negatively when I say this name. But there's one guy who I think could develop into it. He's not it right now. But the way I saw him playing at the end of the Browns game, Chase Claypool, mm-hmm. when he caught two touchdowns, and you didn't see him go over and be like, "Woo, yeah, I got y'all." He was ticked because he knew what was going on in the game. We're losing. I hate this. When he caught that last touchdown pass, he spiked the ball, but it wasn't a "I did that." It's a "I hate this right now." And mm-hmm. that I saw fire in that. And yeah. we've seen him be physical throughout this year.
Mm-hmm.
The Steelers need a guy that's going to galvanize the receiver room. You know, I think one thing that gets lost in Juju is the fact that Chase Claypool was the first receiver that was brought into the team that was younger than Juju Smith-Schuster in the past several years. but if Claypool comes in and he seems like a guy that, you know, he made a lot of plays early on, if he doesn't feel himself, if he realizes he still needs to get better, he could be a tone setter for the wide receiver room moving forward. And I like that tenacity that says, you know, Yeah, I got it. I had 13 touchdowns in my rookie season. Yeah, I put up 2 touchdowns in a playoff game, but we lost, and I hate this. And yes, he did have that horrible Twitch session or Instagram, whatever it was, where he was like, the Browns are going to get clapped. And all people go through stuff like that. Joey Porter wasn't always the leader. There used to be a time when he was making too many jokes and being too wild. But he developed into it because he learned from his losses. You know, he said when he dropped the interception that could have beaten the Patriots in the 2001 AFC Championship game, he cried about it, and that was a huge breaking point for him. And that over the years, he realized we can't have any more excuses. We have to do this. And that was a huge reason why he was such a galvanizing force in the 2005 Super Bowl run. I think Claypool, he shows me the glimpse that he can be that kind of guy. And I'm not just saying that so I can keep doing my Mapletron sound effects either.
Mapletron.
Keep them going. I can see what you're saying. I'm like you said, I think he has to grow up a little bit, not make the comments like he made after the game.
Agreed.
Learn to not do that.
Yep.
Learn to be, maybe. And, cross the lines, man. Cam Hayward, step in, show Chase Claypool, okay, this isn't how you should have done this. This is how you should do this when you're a leader. Mm-hmm. And because, yes, he does have that ability to be the one to galvanize that room. And so it is incumbent on the guys who are leaders now, whether they are offense or defense, to teach these younger guys how not just to play the game, but to be leaders. That's very, very important, and it's important to keep a locker room together.
Agreed. And part of it also is finding the guys who come from places that taught them how to be leaders. And that doesn't always equate to things. There's guys that came from not big schools, but I think one person who will be a leader for this team is Minkah Fitzpatrick. When I've read about the things he said and did when he was at Alabama, and I've talked to him after games, and I've seen him how he responds to things. He's still extremely young, and he's just in his second year with the team, and I think he's still figuring things out. He's still the guy that the older guys like Cam Hayward are messing with right now. But I think that he's going to be a part of taking the Steelers of taking the mantle of the Steelers culture and carrying it forward and being a leader. And I think that Alabama does a heck of a job building guys of that character when it comes to their defense, the guys who become the leaders on a team, become the faces of a team. And I think that one guy that could be the face of that is Najee Harris for Alabama, their running back. I know that people want to get an offensive tackle in the first round, and I'm not ruling that out.
I do. Yep.
But imagine you get a running back that comes to the team, is a workhorse, and doesn't talk about it. He just is like, I'm getting it done. And imagine you get another, now I'm not saying Jerome Bettis, because Jerome Bettis is, don't come by all the time. But I'm saying a guy who is a leader and a workhorse on offense, and then maybe you win a Super Bowl with Ben in his final years, but even if you don't, when that new quarterback comes in, if he's a rookie behind him, you got this super dog, that is a leader that's setting the tone for him and being like, that's my quarterback. We're going to bring him up. Right. I think that when you surround yourself with those type of guys that can work, and I'm not saying that Najee Harris is definitely that guy. I'm just saying that I've seen people come from this Alabama program that Nick Saban, when they come up under Nick Saban and he gives them his stamp of approval, like he did Minkah. And like, I think he's going to do for Najee Harris and what he has for Najee Harris. I think when you do that and you get one of those guys, it can really help change your, or help maintain and push forward your leadership in the locker room. It's not just going to start these guys aren't just going to come in and create the culture from scratch.
Right.
They don't need to. The Steelers still have good leadership, but they need guys to carry into the future. Because we've been saying this whole time, Ben ain't going to be around much longer. Cam's probably on his last big deal that he's got here. And, you're probably looking around and you're like, okay, DeCastro's probably not going to be like, who's the guy on offense? We got some candidates on defense. There's questions there, but I certainly think that the Steelers are in a position to build those leaders for the future.
So you're saying I shouldn't hate Alabama as much as I do?
No, absolutely. Hate Alabama all you want. It's fine. Everyone, you can hate whoever you want.
I'm tired of seeing Alabama and Ohio State in the championship game.
Who isn't tired of and Clemson? Who isn't tired of that? But the thing is that when you see those games, and one thing that always amazes me when those games happen are the athletes that are on the field. And then when you read into the stories of how they develop, of how that team, took on different challenges throughout the year. Like, you know, seeing Justin Fields for Ohio State take the hit that he did in the Clemson game and then come back and then lead them to a big victory over a very good to great Clemson team with Trevor Lawrence on the other side of the field. That was huge for me to see his leadership there. And I'm like, that's a guy I would take in my locker room. And yes, he has a ways to go before he's the NFL quarterback that's approved and everything, but I would give him a look now. And programs like that. And Cam comes from that. He went to Ohio State. Ryan Shazier came from that. You want guys from those programs. And that's not saying just draft guys to those programs.
But you and Claypool from a Notre Dame. I mean, you know, and so we got Dotson, Claypool, maybe a running back, and Minka.
Yes.
Yeah. And I'd love to hear from the listeners here on our Facebook page. Who else do you think will be a candidate to be a leader in the future?
Yeah, who are your top leaders moving? That's a question. Who are your top leaders moving forward for the Steelers? Who do you think steps up and become the faces of the team going into the generation? So you can't use Cam, DeCastro, or Ben. We're talking about guys who are either in their, you know, anywhere from being a rookie to a third or fourth year player.
Right.
So there you have it. Dean, this is a blast as always. Thanks so much for coming on the show. Please let people know they can find you and follow more of your work.
Find me on Twitter at IamDean16, on Facebook. You can find me there on the Locked On Steelers podcast. I chat it up with people all the time. You can send me friend requests there as well. And be sure to tune into sports programming on Channel 11, 11 on the Ice every weekend for hockey, and Final Word on Sunday nights for the best sports talk debate in town.
Absolutely, especially when I'm on it. but as you all know, my name is Chris Carter. I'm the host of the Locked On Steelers podcast here. You can follow me on Twitter at Carter Critiques. If you follow me, I'll follow you back. Thanks so much for listening to the show. If you're enjoying the show and you're not subscribed yet, you can subscribe on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, anywhere podcasts are hosted. Also, if you're enjoying the show and you want to help us out, please, please, please go on Apple Podcasts, look for the ratings, rate us 5 stars, and leave a positive comment. When you do both, it really helps out the show and get the word out about what we've been able to do here. And when you do, we will give you a shout out on the podcast, because it's truly special when you guys do that. Thank you. Thanks again, Dean, for coming on the show. We really appreciate you. Tomorrow, it's Thursday. We're going to have a former host of the Locked On Steelers podcast come back to the program. And it's not Tony Serino. It's our boy, Adam Crowley. He'll be on the show. About time. But it's going to be a fun one. If you listen to Adam over the years, you know how funny that guy is. We're going to have a lot to talk about. So stay tuned for tomorrow. We got a great show lined up for you. Until then, Steeler Nation, we'll talk to you soon.